When you need your work truck to work as hard as you do, trust Delphi Technologies to deliver the parts built for the toughest work environments. From construction sites to long-distance hauling, go with the aftermarket supplier known for its 100-plus years of OE heritage and expertise. Go to DelphiAftermarket.com today. When you need your work truck to work as hard as you do, trust Delphi Technologies to deliver the parts built for the toughest work environments. From construction sites to long-distance hauling, go with the aftermarket supplier known for its 100-plus years of OE heritage and expertise. Go to DelphiAftermarket.com today. Welcome, everyone, to the podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Ross. My pleasure to have with me again today, Bruce Eccles, founder of Eccles Auto semi-retired, but also as an executive with the Automotive Aftermarket Retailers of Ontario. Bruce has really set an example for service for a long, long time now, and is an outspoken professional in the industry. Now, he did a podcast with us not too long ago, beseeching members of the automotive service provider community to stop the trash talk, stop trashing your competitors on the independent side, and kind of pulling together. Got a lot of great response with that, but it's not always easy, right, Bruce? When you see a car come in with it's a new customer, you do the inspections you're supposed to do, your process is in, and your techs look at it and they shake their heads and they're like, "What has been going on with this car? There's all this work needs to be done," and it's not easy to not let that kind of slip out to the customer and say, "Oh boy, where have you been taking your car?" Right?
Andrew, it's probably a position that almost every shop's run into. I will guarantee you they have. Let's be honest, you've got to keep it professional because you're also insulting their ability to find a place to get their car repaired. But on the other hand, too, you might be scaring them and frightening them away from your own shop. You've done everything absolutely proper. Maybe the car does need repairs. The car needs servicing. But by calling down whoever it's been servicing is the last thing you want to do. First of all, it's unprofessional. But more importantly, it actually insults the car owner because they were happy where they were going. Now, maybe they weren't. Maybe they're back to you on a recommendation, or who knows. But you got to bear in mind, they at one time thought their car was being properly serviced. So you're not going to start pointing fingers or calling people any names. That's when you have to have a real serious one-on-one with the owner of the vehicle and say, "Okay, here's what we found with the car. There's going to be a few things we should do right away, like because the front brakes are steel on steel, or you've got a worn front end component or something. But we can probably let that pinion seal. We'll clean it up and let's check it again in a few weeks." There's things you can sort of postpone. Mm-hmm. But you're doing no good to anybody, including yourself, if you start calling down another shop or a dealership. I mean, legitimately, what good does it do? And as I said, Andrew, you're just insulting the people's ability to find a place. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I've certainly, even just in my own kind of, aside from my role, in the aftermarket, friends and family who've had bad experiences where they've gone in there, as I said, they've come and they said, "Hey, just brought it to a new shop." And they said, "Oh my gosh, is $3,000 worth of work," back when $3,000 was a big job,
yeah.
Right. And they were like, "Where have you been taking it?" And they missed this, they missed that, they just have a bad experience about it. Even if they're, the job here is to focus on it, giving them as positive an experience as possible, notwithstanding the work that needs to be done, right, Bruce?
Well, yeah, and we know, we've been saying this forever. The business we're in, basically, Andrew, it's a negative purchase. No one really wants to put a ball joint in their car. They want that ball joint to last the life of the car. And they don't really want to do repairs. They kind of understand tires. I don't know why, but people understand tires wear out and brakes wear out. But anything else always seems to upset people. I don't know why. So here's the situation. In a way, you've got to just I hate using this word, but you got to educate the consumer in a way that they need to do some repairs, but it doesn't do you any good to start talking about previous overlooked services or whatever, because you have to bear in mind the other thing too, Andrew, maybe the car hasn't been getting serviced properly since the day it was purchased. And the only person to blame is the vehicle owner. And you're not going to do that because you're hoping they're going to say, yeah, fix it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely. And, you don't know their situations too, right? So, I like to take the view that, the car owner is probably aware, of where their car's at. They obviously they're in, they need service. So they've made the big leap to come in and bring their car for service. So let's not make them think that that's a bad decision. Right. And who knows, that other shop that may be prone to bad mouthing, maybe they did do the job. Maybe they did make the recommendations, but for whatever reasons, that car owner wasn't in a position to affect those repairs.
Exactly. And, you have to be sensitive to people's needs and financial ability to even, like, we see scenarios that are unfortunate. And we ran into quite a bit of this with COVID, where people really maybe were going to buy a new car. Maybe they were sort of putting off repairs because they said, why would I spend $1,000 on this car? Because we're going to buy a new Toyota or whatever in the spring. And then COVID came along. And unfortunately, some of the neglected services that maybe to a degree came back to haunt them. But we also have kind of an interesting thing. We had a lot of people commit to their vehicle for the first time. Like I'm talking clients that traditionally get new cars. They've committed to keeping that vehicle longer for lots of reasons. But the number one reason is the availability of new cars and the whole process of buying a new car right now is difficult. And so when we present the idea of keeping this car another 2 or 3 years, let's understand what that's going to cost you, which is obviously substantially less than new car. We've got a lot of our clients are committing to keeping the car now. And this is obviously good for the aftermarket and good for us. And some of that, yes, was brought on by COVID, but some of that's coaching your clients too. When you're a lot of times clients come in. So we have a little bit, a questionnaire we have got that when a customer comes in for the first time, we have a series of questions we ask them. And one of the questions we say, do you own the car or do you lease it? Are you planning on keeping the car 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, unknown? And by doing that, you're already planting the seed that I want to keep this car. Some people say they don't know, and that's unknown. But we say, okay, but here's our objective. We want the car to last as long as possible, and we're hoping that's what you want. So here's what we're going to recommend. And a lot of people appreciate that. And this process, when they come in, takes 15, 20 minutes sometimes. It's not like... It's probably for some customers, they go, what the heck was that all about? But others appreciate what we're trying to do. Because I'm going to tell you, Andrew, if a guy's leasing a car and he gets a new one every 2 years, we're probably not going to be too worried about flushing transmission fluids or changing coolants or anything like that or anything. But the guy says, I want to keep it 10 years. Let's follow the guidelines from the manufacturer. And, we all know when a car is really well maintained, they last a lot longer.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, it occurs to me, it used to be very much I would hear it a lot, your car needs this and this and this. Yeah, I'm getting rid of it in 6 months. Don't worry about it, Well, especially with the continuing new car supply delays, that 6 months can turn into a year pretty quick. Now that kind of borderline system is now really going to cause a problem. So, it's a good time to be able to have those conversations. I think, as you mentioned, a client base, a customer base in the independent automotive service provider market that's more receptive than ever to suggestions about here's how to maintain your car where you can keep it in good shape longer. Even if you're not looking to keep it for 10 years, your trade-in value, your resale is going to be all that much better because we're in for a long ride before new vehicle supplies are, ready in a minute, right? So we'll be right back after this. Did you know that Delphi Technologies is the only OE full-line fuel supplier? Go with the global aftermarket supplier with over 3,200 SKUs covering more than 280 million vehicles in operation and with parts tested in OE durability and reliability conditions to ensure a quality fit and performance. Learn more at DelphiAftermarket.com.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of feel that we're never going to see it quite the way it was ever again. I kind of think that this way that cars are being sold now, it might stay a little longer than we want. And that space, there's going to be some excuses, and they'll always blame COVID, I suppose. But I think in many respects, it's probably better for the manufacturer and for the dealer, because there's no inventory. But as fast as they're building, they're selling. And I think you're going to see that's going to be I don't think you're going to see car lots with 60 or 70 or 80 cars sitting there on a floor plan of some sort that's costing the dealer all kinds of money to keep there until they're sold. I think the manufacturer is going to allow that guy the 10 or 15 cars that he's going to sell that month or whatever. But you're going to see a little bit more on-time delivery for the sale. And I think everybody benefits. I think if you kind of look at it from a dealer's perspective, if they're paying, I don't know what it is because I'm not a dealer, but say they're paying 1% floor plan or whatever, well, they got $3 million for the cars. That's a hefty bill at the end of the month. Whereas if they can eliminate that, their bottom line's better. So they maybe they're happy to have a few less cars on the lot. And this whole sense of, I'm not going to say it's false demand, but this whole sense of we can't get it for you creates kind of a, people want to get one. Like, it's not even maybe the color they want or whatever. They're just excited they can get a new car. So
yeah,
it might change. It might be like this forever now. Who knows?
Yeah. From what I hear, you know, in my conversations with others around the new car dealer space, you kind of hit the nail right on the head there. You know, many of them have had, financially speaking, business-wise, profit-wise, some of their best years because they haven't had the $10 or $20 million worth of, expenses for having all those cars on the lot. They're selling them before they get them, you know, and
that's right.
And they've sort of figured that, hey, this makes a lot of sense, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm sure there's some customers that, you know, really need to see that car in that color that they want on the lot. But you know, it's now with so much going through the digital space on the new car size, I think you're probably not far from the truth. We'll see how it plays out over time, of course. But, you know, it's again, there was a time before this latest time where you did order your car and it wasn't coming till the fall.
Ever,
you know, it was months and months and months away. And somehow we got used to being able to walk into the lot and sign the papers and drive away, you know? So,
Well, you know what, it's really interesting how it's changed. But like I said, I think you're going to see it stay. It's a little bit more like it is now. The traditional going to look at 12 different Buicks, all different colors that you know, choose the one you want. Those days are gone. I'm pretty certain of that. And the ability to go online and look, you can go online and build and price a car yourself, and you can put all the wheels you want on it. You can put, because all the software that's available for building your own. I mean, you can put the car on your computer and look at it inside, outside, and every which way. So I think they're counting on that. People build their car and then, you know, order it from the dealer or whatever.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, and certainly, you know, this has driven both the owners of vehicles to look to keep their vehicles. Certainly early on in the pandemic, it certainly drove a lot of folks who hadn't been driving, didn't have cars, to buy all manner of, whatever the used vehicles were that they could get. They didn't, you know, folks who'd maybe normally been on public transit and didn't want to do that because of the concerns over being in one enclosed space with a lot of other people, certainly more in kind of urban environments and whatnot too. But you know, it all helps the aftermarket kind of general vehicle in operation, right?
Well, it's interesting. It's kind of been COVID's created a lot of different challenges in our business. But the one thing I'll say that's interesting, we have had a few people that are now permanently working out of their house. And I guess that's going to be their employers decided that it's worked well. So we've actually had two or three of our clients sell their second car because the used car values are so high. Yep. They say this car is worth $5,000 more than it was 2 years ago. We're not driving it. In fact, that's a problem because it's sitting too much. So they're happy to sell it. They consider that $5,000 a bonus, and I see what they're saying.
Sure.
And because one or the other is working out of the house. And so it's kind of interesting, these things that have sort of happened through COVID. And I'm kind of certain that those people will end up with two cars again sometime in their lives. But right now, they just thought they'd take advantage of the used car market.
Sure, yeah. But that car goes somewhere, right? Somebody else is driving.
It goes somewhere. Yeah.
Somebody else is driving it, and hopefully driving it into your shop too. If you've
got it. Exactly.
But again, this, you know, I guess, you know, in that case, you'd be hard pressed to, you know, look under the inspection and say, oh, who's been working on your car?
You know, yeah. Well, see,
I guess that's me.
And that's why you just keep your mouth shut, because let's be honest, it doesn't do you any good anyways. And you certainly don't want to get yourself pinned down in a position where, oh, where'd you get the car serviced? That's funny. That's one of our customers' cars.
Yeah. So. But nonetheless, I mean, again, we brings it right down to full circle, right? It's like when you have a customer in front of you, the last thing you want to do is make an already, I mean, we talk about it being a grudge purchase. You know, that's kind of the old phraseology here. The last thing you want to do is make that into a less pleasant experience, right?
Let me tell you something about working with your competitors, if you want to call them competitors. So we have a shop in our town, 2.5 blocks away, that was renovating. It was one of our old shops. We sold them. And they had to close down for 3 weeks. We let them use one of our bays with their customers' cars in our shop. And that's just because that's what you do. The way we thought about it is, okay, they're down the road. They have their own clientele. We have our own clientele. We work together on a lot of things. And he doesn't want to be shut down for 3 weeks. So we had an extra bay, because we've always got an emergency bay we keep open. We don't have a tech in that bay. So we allowed them to use, their apprentice came down and worked in our shop for 3 weeks with their customers' cars. I mean, that's just a good thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
We'll be right back after this. Did you know that Delphi Technologies is the only OE full-line fuel supplier? Go with the global aftermarket supplier with over 3,200 SKUs covering more than 280 million vehicles in operation, and with parts tested in OE durability and reliability conditions to ensure a quality fit and performance. Learn more at DelphiAftermarket.com. Yeah, we talk about this here, you know, certainly as the automotive service provider community. And you know, it's hard to think of it that way if you're kind of fighting tooth and nail for what you think is the business. But as you say, you have your clientele. The shop down the road has their clientele, and if they're doing the right job, they'll keep their clientele and their customers, as will you. And to take a little bit less. I mean, you can still compete, of course. You still want to compete with the quality of your work and the quality of your service. But it should stop there and not go to the point where you're tearing it down or trying to throw roadblocks in the way of your competitors, right?
Exactly right. And this always comes up because we always parlay this around, my feelings about how independents really need to belong to an association where you've got a voice. And that's why I push the Aero program, because we're continually trying to improve it and make it better. And if you're an independent, You need to be involved in an association that basically is you with 700, 800, 1,000 other people just like you. And then issues you're going to, maybe come across your service desk or whatever. It's sort of like you're not alone in this game. I really believe associations are more important now, maybe than they ever were, because I mean, a banner program has some of the same benefits, but what we're talking about is proudly independent. With no attachments to any particular brand of auto part or whatever. And I just think that it's really imperative that if you're an independent, you should get involved in an association and get involved with their training and meet people and network and expand the amount of people you could perhaps pick up a phone and say, hey, have you ever run into this? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So.
No, and it's a great suggestions, you know, building community, drawing together, exchanging ideas, just sort of put a bow on this and say it's really hard to do that with a shop down the road if you've been turning around and trashing them.
Exactly.
They will know. They'll know. We have everybody, I think, in this industry takes a lot of pride in the work that they do and the service they provide customers. We're not all perfect. Sometimes everybody makes mistakes, and sometimes those cars that you think haven't been maintained for reasons that go beyond what that service provider, you know, has been recommending, right? I mean, as we talked about before.
It does come back to doesn't do anybody any good. So let's start at ground zero. Let's just work now with the vehicle and what it needs. Let's not talk about its history. Let's not talk about the consumer's needs or wants or financial restraints at the time, because none of that's important. Here's what's important. We'll do this now. And I think every good shop, in fact, I'm almost positive all shops have that same thing. Look, the car needs basically $3,000 worth of service, but we can spread that over 6 visits or something. You know, we need to do the brakes. They're steel on steel. That's the why you came in, because of that noise. But then the steering component, that's why your tires wore out. So what we'd like to do is just get that tie rod end put on it. Let's do the front brakes. With the tires, we're going to look at again in three or 4 months. And at that time, we'll have a closer look at that stab link that's a bit loose, stuff like that. Because when you start breaking it down and sort of, I guess, best described as a budget with your customer, how do you make it work for all parties concerned? Well, the best thing you can do is say, look, it's dangerous. So you obviously want to be fixing the brakes, but let's spread this over 6 months. And most clients understand that. And the whole process of budgeting, unfortunately, I've been saying since I got into this career that people just don't budget for car repairs. It's crazy. They own a car. They know it costs them a couple thousand a year at least to keep it on the road, but they don't budget for it. They always pull out their credit card and that's their budgeting. And I don't know if they, to be honest, Andrew, I don't know if they pay the statement off at the end of the month. But when I find that out is when it comes in for its second or third, and they go through, they have a wallet full of credit cards, and it's like they're shuffling for a card game, trying to find one that will work. Now, it's difficult for us because we know they got some financial issues, but that doesn't, the car still needs brakes and steering, and, you know, so it is interesting at times how we have to work around certain things.
Yeah, for sure. A car needs what a car needs, right? Sometimes it takes a bit to get that communicated to the customer, and doesn't mean, you have a responsibility, right, to recommend the work that it needs, getting in the end of
it. We never got involved because I had a bad scenario years and years ago. We were probably in business about 10 years. There was a couple avenues where you could allow your customer, we'd get paid immediately and the customer didn't have to pay for 6 months or something like that, you know, like a deferred payment plan on car repairs. Well, it doesn't make sense for so many reasons, but one of the situations that happened to us, and it really was unfortunate. It was a single mom, of course, not picking on them, but of course, she's going to have some budget issues. And she takes advantage of don't pay for 6 months. Well, I get paid right away. It goes to some finance company. It was through an association, not it. And anyways, 6 months later, her car gets towed in and it needs a bunch of work again. Her uncle comes in and starts talking to me. She hasn't paid for the one that she did the time before. So she still owes that. And I don't remember the amount. It doesn't matter. She still owes for that. Then he tells me that when she was up north in Huntsville or something, the car broke down and needed a water pump or something. She hasn't paid for that. She put that on deferred. And now the car came in. I think it needed an ignition module or something. It was an old Oldsmobile. Anyways, long story short, she hadn't paid any car repair bills now. And I felt guilty that we're the ones that got her on that train of, you know. And in the end, what happened was, because her uncle was a good client of ours, he paid. When the car came in, he paid for the module or the coil or whatever it needed. And he explained to us that she's not good with her finances and she hasn't got a lot of money. So this whole putting the thing off. And you know what? I scrapped the program. I never did it again. I said, you know what? I don't want to be involved with it. Like, I'm not a banker. And as Bob Greenman would say, you're not a bank. Why do people owe you money?
Right. So, I hear you.
Remember, that was the first thing he said. Why do people owe you money? And it's the same thing. Why are you lending money? Let them find their own way to do it.
Yeah. We're all kind of grown-ups here, right? And I understand. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. You know, you don't want to be the person that looks like they're responsible for somebody being in debt, right? So, if it's going dragging out like that, I mean, that's that can be a whole other issue. We're kind of out of time here, but I want to just say to everybody that once again, thanks, Bruce, for coming on. And, you know, really important to get beyond the trash talk. Think about it as a community. You're competitors are also, you know, your colleagues in the business trying to do their best for their customers. Great suggestion from Bruce to look to a local association to be able to share experience, maybe in addition to any other network or banner programs you might be a part of. Great suggestion. Bruce, of course, is involved with the Automotive Aftermarket Retailers of Ontario at aaro.ca, aero.ca. You know, give them a look. You get a chance to talk to other shop owners and maybe solve some of your common issues, build that community, and we all work together to keep the Canadian driving public safe and mobile. All right, thanks everybody. Thanks, Bruce, again for coming
on.
Thanks,
Andrew.
And take care of yourselves, take care of each other. We'll see you next time on the podcast.
You're listening to the Great Canadian Aftermarket Podcast, brought to you by the publishers of Indie Garage and Jobber Nation. Connect with us online at indiegarage.ca and jobbernation.ca, a brand of Chat Integrated Media.
Pothole damage to a vehicle's chassis is always a concern, no matter the size or time of year. If the worst does happen, you can count on Delphi Technologies steering and suspension parts to get your customers back on the road again. Learn more at DelphiAftermarket.com. Pothole damage to a vehicle's chassis is always a concern, no matter the size or time of year. If the worst does happen, you can count on Delphi Technologies steering and suspension parts to get your customers back on the road again. Learn more at DelphiAftermarket.com.